Hi, I'm Chris Nessie from the House of EdTech podcast, a proud member of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. And make sure to check out all the other great podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com. And now, the learning begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, welcome back. Today I'm talking about my 12 tools for having a successful beginning to your school year. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here, and today I'm talking my 12 tools for a successful beginning to the school year. Yeah, you know, and this may sound like a lot, but it's really not. Several of them kind of could be grouped together all around the idea of learning kids' names, and others are things that you may not have thought about or you have thought about, but you should do. So let's think about this because, you know, the start of the school year is a big deal because if you start off right and you put into place certain practices that you'll use throughout the year, it's going to help you reach the kids that much quicker. It's going to help you make, move mountains. It's going to help you be you. It's going to help you really have an awesome year. So we want to start off right. So here are my 12 tools for a successful beginning to the school year. Number one, you want to greet students at the door. You know, at the door to your classroom. You want to be there when they're coming down the hallway and getting ready to step in the classroom. Now, part of this is all about learning their names, because when you start off the school year, it is so important that the sooner you can know and use their names and recognize them, not just at your classroom, not just in your classroom, but also in the hallway and in the cafeteria and such, you're going to have connected with them. And that is so important to having an incredible year. So one of the things that will help you do this is to greet students when they enter your class, because you're going to use their name. And if you don't know it, you're going to ask them, come on, remind me your name again. All right, I'm going to get it. Don't worry. Just help me out here. And they'll give it to you. But it also allows you to do something else. So not only is greeting students at the door helpful for you and helping you learn their names and helping you connect with the kids, but it's also helpful for you testing the temperature as they come into the classroom. Now, let me explain this rather quickly, because one of the things that you're going to find out is that when they come to the door and you're there, this is not always something they're expecting from all of your colleagues. Once you establish it, then they quickly grow to understand it. But my point is that what happens is that you'll feel real quickly whether they're upset, whether they're angry, whether they're, they've been crying, whether something's been going on. You'll get that feel rather quickly because you stick your hand out there and you said, hey, good morning, Steve. How you doing today? Do you get that response or do you get, I'm okay, Mr. Mileto. Do you see what I'm talking about? You know, you can help nip some things in the bud as a famous character said on a TV show not so far in the distant past. They said one time, you got to nip it in the bud. Well, one of the things that happens is if you're at the door, not only do you get to practice their names, but you also get to get a feel for what the attitude is coming into the classroom. And as a result of this, you might be able to address something before it disrupts your class. You might be able to deal with something that nobody knows is going on in the kid's life. You might be able to simply be able to say, hey, come with me just a second. What's going on? So you understand? So one of the things that'll help you make your, one of the tools that'll help you make your year more successful is greet the students at the door. Number two, you know, once again, we're getting back to this idea of learning their names. In the beginning, it is important to use a seating chart. You know, as old school as that sounds, it's good. Use it. Learn their names. And the best way to do that is to put them in their seats first and use that to check, you know, to look around the classroom and check to see if everybody's there and call their name from it. Use it when you're asking questions to say, hey, who on here don't I know their name? Yeah. And specifically call on that student. Right? I mean, because they're kids that you're going to get to know rather quickly. You're going to know their names fast, and you might even get to know their parents' names rather quickly. And there's other kids, not so much. Some of them you're going to learn for good reasons. Some of them you're going to learn for bad reasons. Some of them are going to disappear into the woodwork. You know, take it from experience. I'm one of those kids. I wanted to disappear into the woodwork in your classroom. I didn't want you to know my name. I just wanted to be there, get my job done, and move on. And as a result of that, I made sure I was quiet. I sat near a wall in your class, but not in the front and not in the back. Just kind of out of your vision. I didn't talk to other students while you talked. I looked like I was taking notes while you were, you know, talking to us. And I made sure that always my work was turned in. And I did my best. And as a result of that, I did a great job of disappearing into the class. Do you know kids like me? I'll bet you do. Do you know their name? Well, have you taken time to learn their names? Well, you've got to, because kids like me will disappear in there, because believe me, the ones who know all the answers, they're going to get your attention rather quickly, and the ones who create some of the issues are going to get your attention rather quickly, and then the rest of us kind of disappear. So, number one tool for a successful beginning to the year is greet students when they enter your class. Number two tool is use a seating chart so you begin using the kids' names. Well, number three is you need to develop this extra sensory perception that teachers can develop if they allow themselves and understand what I'm talking about. I'm a big fan of comic books, especially Spider-Man. And one of the things, if you know what Spider-Man's all about, he has this thing that he calls his spidey sense. You know how spiders are able to kind of jump out of your way or run away from you just as you're getting ready to swat them or step on them or something like that? Well, that's, you know, in the Spider-Man comics, he has his extra sense that tells him when danger is approaching, and he hops out of the way or, you know, jumps out of the way rather quickly. Well, in your class, you have spidey sense that you need to develop. Teachers who are unsuccessful tend not to focus on developing this spidey sense. And whether you want to call it that or whether you want to just call it, you know, having eyes in the back of your head, you need to develop it, which is simply this. Marzano calls it with-itness. Yeah, the researcher, educational researcher Robert Marzano calls it with-itness. The idea that, not that you're, hey, dude, I'm cool. No, not like that. No, with-itness is the idea that you're in tune with the vibes of the class, man. You're out there when you greet the kids as they come in, you're paying attention to attitudes and you're paying attention to, you know, temperature, and you're paying attention to what's happening there. When you get into the classroom, you're feeling that out too. You're seeing, you know, is somebody staring somebody else down? Is somebody, you know, who normally sits next to their best friend, now they're sitting apart for some strange reason? I mean, you know, you're paying attention to that. When you turn your eyes to the board, are your eyes really to the board, or are you paying a little bit of attention to what's going on behind you? Do you see what I mean? The teacher who's unsuccessful at with-itness is the teacher who ends up with the fight in their classroom happening right in front of them. I dealt with a staff member one time who, in a class of about 28 kids, she's in the middle of the class, and a young man gets up from one side, goes across the room, and hits the kid on the far side. And when you heard the kids' explanations of what was going on during this whole time, they were staring each other down, they were mouthing things to each other, and yet she ignored all of that. She missed all of those signals somehow. That's a lack of with-itness. So you want to work on developing this. And a big part of how this happens, how you develop it, is number one, you got to learn their names, and number two, you got to pay attention to them at all times. The best teachers call this having eyes in the back of your head. And it's just a skill that you have to develop. And it means that you never get so totally lost in what you're doing that you're not paying attention to what's going on in the classroom. All right, so we talked about greeting students at the door. We talked about using a seating chart. And we've talked about developing your spidey sense. Well, my number four tool for a successful beginning of the year is you've got to know you. What? You're like, what are you talking about, Steve? Come on, you got to know you. You've got to know what makes you click, what makes you tick, what makes you go, ah! You got to know these things. Do you know you? It's important, because if you're working with kids, you've got to understand when certain things are starting to get under your skin. Yeah, because, you know, sometimes we, you know, if we ignore those signals, if we're not paying attention to us, then next thing you know is we're very angry and the kids are looking at us like we've grown a second, you know, a second skull on the side of our shoulder or something like this. You know, so in knowing you, you got to understand your temper. You've got to make sure that you have a sense of humor. You've got to understand that what is your sense of humor, and you got to put it into action. And, you know, one of the things that you've really got to take a good look at is what pushes your buttons so that you're aware of when your temperature, not the students, your temperature is going from 0 to 60 and you got to slow it down and stop it. Put the brakes on it. So do you know you? Do you know what bothers you? Do you know what encourages you? Do you know what makes you laugh? Do you know what makes you irritated and makes you bothered? Huh? All right. So number four tool for a successful year is you've got to know you and you've got to practice you, because once you know you, then when you feel those things coming on, when you feel that temperature going from 0 to 60, you got to be able to put the brakes on so that you don't make a fool out of yourself or do something dumb. So number five tool for having a successful year, you've got to learn how to plan small and how to plan big. All right, plan big and plan small. Big means you're using the unit plan, all right? The idea that you're planning 3 weeks out. Here's the unit. This is the big picture of what I'm trying to cover. That is a huge deal, because when you do that type of planning, you know where you're trying to get the kids to, right? If you're just going page by page, chapter by chapter, you're not getting anywhere. You're not planning down the road. You're just planning on a, you know, on however, wherever the book tells you to be. That's not what you should be doing, because you have standards that you've got to, you know, that tell you what that big picture is. So you've got to plan in the idea of the unit plan, which is big ideals about where you're trying to get the kids to. Well, then the small planning is the daily plan. And the daily plan is important, because that's the thing where you come up with your ideas on how you're going to deliver the unit, how you're going to work with them, what engaging activities you're going to have, what your formative assessments are, all the types of stuff that you're going to do on a daily basis. You're going to probably mention some kids specifically by name in the daily plan, because they're the kids that you've got to really be focused on, whether they, you know, they need extra, you know, work, and not for because they're behind, but because they're ahead, or the ones who you got to be a little more careful about understanding whether they're getting it or not, because they tend to fall behind. You know, there's or maybe just make a note to yourself to make sure that Steve is in with the class, because you recognize that he might be disappearing. So, you know, you've got to learn how to plan big and plan small. I will make sure there's a link in my show notes to where I talk about the importance of unit planning. So number one is greet students. Number two is using a seating chart. Number three is develop your spidey sense. Number four is know you. Number five is plan small, the daily plan, and plan big, the unit plan, right? You got to know where you're going from. You start with that big unit plan, and you work yourself backwards to that daily plan. And your daily plans are the ones that are going to be very flexible. And, you know, believe me, whatever the kids do that day is probably what's going to cause you to change your plans. Number six tool for having an awesome start to the year. Here we are. We're halfway through my list of 12 tools for a successful beginning to the year. Include opportunities for checking for understanding. And what that means, you probably heard the fancier term of formative assessment. Dun, dun, dun. Well, you know, one of the things that allowed me to disappear into the woodwork, and my teachers didn't really know whether I knew it or not, was they didn't take time to figure out whether I got it or not. And if you wait until the end assessment, that class test, things are over with then. You don't have a chance to improve my learning. Well, that's what a formative assessment's all about, is that you take time to figure out what your kids know and what they don't know, and you use that to adjust instruction. These are not graded tools. No, 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 no. You know, and I'll also include some links where I talk about these in a little bit more detail. But formative assessments are your checks for understanding, to see if we're getting it as we're moving along, to see if you need to do some small group activity or a large group activity to help reinforce whatever it is that you're teaching. You stop moving forward. It helps you personalize a little bit more. Important to figure out what the kids know and don't know. And that leads me to number seven tool that's going to help you have a great year. Learn how to give better feedback. Yes, and I will include a link to a wonderful book that I get no remuneration for recommending, but it gives you examples of good feedback and what poor feedback is like. But you want to get better at giving good instructional feedback and get away from just the judgmental feedback where all you're doing is giving smiley faces and saying, thumbs up, good job. So numbers, I just said number six is include opportunities for checking for understanding. I said number seven is feedback, getting better at that. So here we go. We're coming into the home stretch. Number eight tool for a successful beginning of the school year is learn how to start and stop class. You have to do this. You want to start it from the very beginning. Have you ever seen a orchestra leader or a symphony leader? Have you ever watched them? I mean, one of the most famous that I know of is John Williams. You know, I love John Williams' music for his movie scores and such. And there's so many famous movies that he's done the scores for. But if you ever get a chance to watch him, when he gets ready to take the podium, the players may be, you know, making all kinds of noise, tuning up their instruments and stuff, talking to each other, whatever. But when he gets closer to the podium, they stop doing that. When he stands on the podium, they stop playing completely. They all stop playing. They put their instruments on their lap in something that a lot of band directors and musicians call the ready position. And he's either going to talk with them or he's going to point them to where he's starting, and then he's going to start. And so when his hands go up with the baton in the hand, guess what happens next? Every player is focused on him. Well, he's taught them how he starts class. He's taught them how he starts, man. Yes, that's why they do the things that they do. As he's approaching, they start slowing down their conversations. They start stopping what they were doing. When he steps on the podium, they completely stop and all eyes are on him. Well, that means he's taught them how to do that. You need to start and stop class officially. Why? Because if you don't do this, some kids will go, well, you haven't really started class, so I'm just going to do my thing. And then they're going to challenge you to see whether you actually address them or not. And I've seen educators who don't stop. They just keep talking, even though there's other kids talking and doing other things. You need to start class officially. And you got to figure out how you do that. And you need to teach the kids how you do that. I've got some other links to other times where I talk about this and get more into detail. But to kind of give you an idea, I had one place in class where I would say, this is where I start and stop class. And I would say, when you see me stand here, that means I need your attention. All eyes on me, you stop what you're doing. And I would practice that, and we would practice until they get it right. Yeah. Some great information about how to do this is also found in Harry Wong's First Days of School. So, you know, it's one of the things that you've got to do. You got to practice how you want to start class, because by starting officially, you can give them all the information about, this is what we're going to do today. This is what we did yesterday. Here's a little summary of yesterday's activities and how it ties in with today. And today, this is what we're going to do. Or, you know, and after you do that, then maybe you've got some activity plan and something like that. But it gives you that official start so that you can have their attention and begin class. The closing of class, you want to make sure that there's no lining up at the door, book bags closing before you're finished. No, you have to get to the point where you dismiss class and you bring it to an end, and you teach them the same sort of thing, which is, when I get here, this is when I want your attention. Don't break your procedure. This is a prominent procedure you're trying to create, and it has to develop into a routine where they know that when you stand there, you're going to bring it to a close, you're going to give a summary of the day's lesson, and probably talk about what's coming tomorrow, give them a preview or something like this. Tie up any loose ends where you ask for questions and stuff like this, clean up the class, that type of thing, and you dismiss class. So very important to have that way you're going to start and stop class. So my 12 tools, so far we're at number 8. Number 1 is greet students when they enter your classroom. Number 2 is use a seating chart. Number 3 is develop your spidey sense. Number 4 is know you. Number 5 is plan. Start with the big unit plan and then you'll develop your small daily plans off of that big unit plan. Learn how to do that. That is an incredible tool. Number 6, include opportunities for checking for understanding. That's that formative assessment. You got to learn to figure out what they know and what they don't know so you can address it and adjust your instruction. You got to learn how to give better feedback. Feedback, it should be more instructional rather than judgmental. Number 8, learn how to start and stop class officially. It is so important they understand that this is how you start and stop. And that way they look for that, all right? They don't try and guess, have we started class yet? Number 9, have a way for you to stay in touch with parents. This is really important. And you don't have to have it done in the first day, but the sooner you can get it done, the better. If you have a colleague who can help you create a free website, you know, there's lots of them out there, Blogger and others have their free, they have the ability for you to create free websites. Weebly, there's many different ones. Doesn't cost you anything, and a lot of the plug-and-play type programming is out there, so it makes it a lot easier. But basically, you want to have this. As soon as you can, you want to collect emails from parents, phone numbers, any way that it makes it easier for you to get in contact with them. And you want to share with the parents ways for them to get in contact with you. And a wonderful way for doing this is not only exchanging emails, but one of the things that you can do here is make sure that you have some sort of website where you put information about what's coming up, what you're doing now, what's coming up, what big projects are coming down the road, what homework is going on. And what's even better as you get better at this is if you can put your daily notes in there, or if you use a smart board or something like that, one of those interactive boards, you can save some of your notes from the day and put it in there. Maybe even create a screencast of yourself explaining the big project you got going on. If you teach the parents to go to this website first, you're going to solve a lot of potential problems that you might have simply by having a place for them to go to seek answers. Any of you who have ever been parents, raise your hand. Hey, you would notice my hand is raised. You know, one of the things that kids tend to do a lot of is they'll come home and you say, hey, you got any homework tonight? Oh, no, I haven't got any homework. When in actuality, they do. Not only do they have homework, they have some big project they're supposed to be working on, but, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Parents love it if you can do something like this. And by having something positive in this manner and being able to show them how to use it and giving them a way to get in touch with you, like through email or like through a Google phone number, which is a free number that you can use, those things help, all right, because it gives them a way to stay in contact with you. So have a way for you to stay in touch with the parents. Number 10 tool for a successful beginning to the school year. You got to have a thought about what you will do. And what I'm talking about now are rules and consequences. You got to know what you're going to do. You got to have a plan for this. I strongly encourage you to follow the philosophy that you only need 3 rules and write them in a positive note. Be respectful is a great one to have, because be respectful, you then explain to them what you mean, and then you practice it, and then you address it when they're not respectful. And then you figure out what your other rules are. So be respectful is one. I know some teachers have one like be prepared, and they explain what be prepared for class means. All right. And then a lot of times they also, sometimes science classes have something about do follow all safety rules or something like that, or be safe in the lab, and they explain what that means. The point is that if you keep them simple like this, you can then get specific when you have to, and you explain to them what it means to be safe, what it means to be prepared, what it means to be respectful. And believe me, most of what kids do, you can tie into the category of not being respectful. You know what I mean? So more on that another time, and I can give you links to other places in my podcast as well as my YouTube channel where I've talked about rules and consequences, because not only do you have to have the rules, but then you got to have the consequences. And one of the things I want to make sure that you understand is that if you have to address a kid, if you have to deal with their behavior, don't confuse behavior with grades, all right? A lot of times adults do this. They want to take away from their grade. That's really a big no-no. And I know some of you are cringing right now. Well, that's how I control them. I don't look at it that way. You're trying to learn how to manage their behavior. And there are kids who are going to step across those lines. And one of the things that you've got to recognize is that you should not confuse, you should not put them together, behaviors and grades, because if you pull away from the grade, if they can still do it, even though they're acting up, that's a whole nother category. That's a whole nother category. Behavior is what you're trying to address. And by, some kids, they could care less if you give them a 0. All right. Some kids could care less if you take away 10 points. Other kids, you ruin their life forever. Stay away from that. That's not good. You want to change the behavior. Well, one of the things that you got to keep in your mind is that when you're addressing whatever the rule breakage was, is that you got to stay in contact with a parent or guardian. That's the first thing that's got to be part of it. And you tell the kids, I will be in contact with whoever you stay with, whoever your parent is, whoever your guardian is. I will be in contact with them. That's the number one part of what your consequences have to involve. And from there, one of the things I strongly encourage is that you say something like this. Possible consequences are, because you don't want to get caught up in going, step one, this happens. Step two, this happens. Step three, you're out. Because some kids will want to see if they can push you to step 3 so that they can go visit their friend, the assistant principal. You don't believe me? Yes. They want to see if they can go 1, 2, 3, I'm out of here because I don't want to be in here in the first place. So more on rules and consequences. I can give you links to that as well in my show notes. I strongly encourage you, you have to think, because at some point, some kid's going to look at you and say, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not going to move, or I'm not going to whatever, fill in the blank. And you need to know what you're going to do. So number 10 is, have a thought about what you will do. You know, so one of the things that we've been talking about here is, I mean, all of the things we've been talking about here are really kind of focused on how, you know, this. My whole point is to help you have a successful start to your year. Well, the last two things that I have come back to you as the teacher more than the student, the students. Yeah, and these last two things. Number 11 is that sometimes we've got to make sure that we give ourselves an attitude check. Yes. Because it's important. You got to recognize that you are on, man. When you come in, when you are in front of kids, you are on. You have to be on stage. You have to be ready to do. You have to be whoever the teacher is that is you. You have to be the teacher. Yes. If we were doing a show about successful starts for administrators, it's the same message for them. You are that person that the kids are interacting with, and you have to leave whatever problems you have at home at home. You have to leave whatever issues you have that happened in the drive to work, you know, out there in the car. You have to let go of that stuff. You have to check your attitude at the door. If you're having difficulty with something, you need to address it. If you're having issues with some child or you're avoiding it with a colleague, you need to address it, but not in the classroom. But not, you know, if it's something from outside, you can't address it there. You've got to deal with you. You've got to watch that attitude. Because sometimes what happens is that we got too much going on. Oh, my goodness, the noise. Yeah, and what happens is that you're so troubled by other things that you start snipping at every little thing a kid does. You lose your humor. You lose your idea that anything has any sort of funniness to it whatsoever, and you start yapping at them. You know, you stop making that noise. You sit down. Oh, you're just breathing too loudly. Ah, armighty, there'll be rough waters up ahead. Anyway, you know, the point is that sometimes we get that way because of other things. Even it's sometimes it's just within the classroom. You know, you're going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm having to say this again. Well, you don't want to say it like that. You got to check your attitude, man. You got to check it. How am I doing? Because when you realize that you are out of control, remember we go way back to when I talked about knowing you? Yeah. Well, once you realize that you are out of control, you got to get control of yourself, and you got to give yourself an attitude adjustment, because we've got to be positive. You know, one of the things, and I know many of you are way too young for this reference, but hey, go back and watch the reruns. There was a show on in the 70s called Fantasy Island, and Mr. Rourke used to say, smiles, everyone, smiles. Well, sometimes that's what you got to do. You got to suck it up. You got to put your troubles behind you, and you got to put your best foot forward, and you go for what you are there to do and work with the kids and help them learn how to achieve their dreams, and you make it happen. And the magic is there, because the show must go on, and you got to get control of you. So sometimes we got to have that attitude adjustment. So that's number 11. Well, number 12 is this. At the end of the day, you need to make time, and sometimes it can come right after school. Sometimes it can come right after a class. Sometimes it has to wait until after you finished, you know, coaching soccer or coaching football or being the drama coach and director or, you know, selling donuts or cookies or whatever for whatever your club or activity is. Or sometimes it's got to come way after even your own kids are in bed. You have to make time to reflect on your day. It doesn't have to take long. It's just a place. And for me, I like to have a quiet place. I like to have a place where I can have I pull out my journal and I make a few notes about what worked and what didn't work for the day. And I strongly encourage you to do that, because when you do that, number one, that's going to help you really address your attitude. But what it's really going to do for you is you're going to stop and think, this worked, that didn't work. How can I fix the thing that didn't work? What do I need to do tomorrow to make sure that I you know, get Steve more involved in the class? You know, that type of thing. You see where I'm going with that? Because if you can make time for that reflection, you're going to become better at your craft. And you got to be honest with yourself. You can't do things like, "Oh, those goofy kids, they just don't, they're all lazy." Rah, rah, rah. No, you got to evaluate yourself, all right? You got to think about and reflect on your behaviors and reflect on theirs, because maybe you can figure out how to best to deal with it. But no matter what, you got to think on the day, and you got to, if you write it down, that's even better, because it's kind of hard to lie to yourself if you're just if you're writing it down. So take time to reflect on what worked and what didn't work. And when you're doing this, please know that there is the power of the redo. And that's what will come out of this reflection, is that I really need to redo this. Do I have time? Well, I encourage you, find time, make time, because when you realize that you probably need to redo something, you're good. You probably need to redo something. The power of the redo is there. So today what we've been talking about is my 12 tools for a successful beginning to the year. And really quickly, here they are again. Number one, greet students when they enter your classroom. Number two, use a seating chart to help you learn their names. Number three, develop your spidey sense. Number four, know you. Number five, plan. Learn how to plan big, the unit plan, down to the small, the daily plan. Six, include, In your lessons, make sure that you include opportunities for checking for understanding, that formative assessment. You got to know what they know and what they don't know and adjust your instruction. Number seven, feedback. Get better at giving instructional feedback so they get better. The only way we get better is if you give me feedback that I can use. Too many smiley faces, I might feel good, but I really don't know how to improve, right? Yeah, that's where X's come into, X's and check marks. They're not good feedback, all right? So learn how to give better feedback. Number eight, make sure that there's an official start and stop to your class. Number nine, have a way for you to stay in touch with parents and for them to stay in touch with you. Have a way for you to provide information that helps keep them up to date so they can keep their kids honest with them. Number 10, have a thought about what you'll do. This is where rules and consequences come in. And always keep in mind, it's about managing behavior, not about disciplining them into doing what you want. Number 11 and number 12 are all about you. Number 11, do an attitude check from time to time and make an adjustment so that you're on top of your game, so that you're not yapping at everything. Once in a while, we have to give ourselves a timeout as the adult. Yes, we do. And there are different ways of solving that. One of the ways is to go out, walk around the building, go get a drink of water, go talk to the funniest guy in the building or the funniest lady in the building who will make you laugh every time. Go watch another class. In other ways, there's just many different ways you can do this. As a principal, what I used to do is I used to go into the parking lot and walk around the cars and then come back. So, we find ways of giving ourselves a timeout to give ourselves that attitude adjustment. And number 12, reflect on what worked and what didn't work. Keep a journal and, seek help. And always remember the power of the redo. If you determine you got to redo, then redo. So there you have it. My 12 ideas, 12 tools for having a wonderful, successful beginning to your school year. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is excited to be a member of Voice Ed Radio. Voice Ed Radio, your voice is right here. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and host. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends.